Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. That's what you're listening to, American Family Radio across the country. And we just so much appreciate our listeners and those who pray for us and who support us financially, because we're listener-supported Christian radio, which we're coming to the end of the year, if you didn't know. And we... would like to be considered in your year-end giving, if you would be so kind. It's not share-a-thon. We have share-a-thon in spring and in the fall. We're just saying, if you make an extra donation to ministries at the end of the year, we certainly would appreciate you remembering us here at American Family Radio, because we're trying to, you know, share the gospel of Christ and also tell the truth about what's happening in our country and equip the saints for battle, as it were.
That's
Walker,
right.
So if folks want to consider giving a year-end donation to American Family Radio, what do they need to do?
Well, the easiest thing to do is to visit afa.net, afa.net, that's our website, afa.net. And when you get to the homepage there, right at the top, there's a big banner that says The God Who Speaks, which is our new documentary coming out after, you can pre-order it now, available now with your year-end gift. So if you give the year-end gift that Dad is talking about, then we will send you the God Who Speaks documentary for your gift. So okay. afa.net, afa.net.
And they can call, too.
That's right. Here's the number you can call. I hope you have a pen and paper. This is a long one. 800-326-4543, option 2. 800-326-4543, option 2. I'll post this information on the Today's Issues Facebook page.
Okay, so if you want to give a gift to American Family Radio at the end of the year here, we would use it to continue our radio ministry, because it's cost a lot of money, as you can imagine, to keep 184 radio stations on the air all across the good old U.S. of A. You're listening to Today's Issues. Steve Jordahl with American Family Radio News is here now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Well, Steve, lead us off here.
Australia, I don't know if it's breaking, but it happened what would have been overnight to us a couple hours ago. The latest information we have is that a van... driving anywhere, somewhere, they said between 60 and 100 kilometers per hour, which would translate to about 40 to 60 miles an hour, plowed through a busy intersection, flinging people they said, bodies scattered left and right. And
what town?
This is in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay.
And they said, this is the police are saying, we do not at this time have any evidence or intelligence. Maybe I should stop there, because they continue to say, to indicate that there's a connection with terrorism. So they're not making the connection with terrorism. They arrested the man at the scene. He is of Afghan descent, but he is an Australian citizen. They are not naming him at this point. They arrested a second man who was on scene videotaping the incident, who was arrested and found to have three long knives on him.
This is jihadi.
It has all the earmarks of it.
This is jihadi. This is in Australia.
Mm-hmm. I say
this is jihadi. That's incorrect English. This is Islamic jihadism. Is that correct?
That would
yes.
be correct.
These are jihadis. Now I'm just speculating, but I'm speculating. I'm saying what everybody's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's rare today that these kinds of things happen where it isn't an act of jihadi terrorism.
Right.
Because, you know, it's every once in a while you'll get a crazy person.
Right.
who would do something like this, but this doesn't appear. When you said Afghani descent, that's the first thing I thought about.
Two more bits of
Are there people dead,
fact.
By the way?
This is one thing I wanted to say. 19 people injured, nobody dead yet. A miracle. They're saying it's a miracle that nobody was killed. At least they haven't yet died. There are some very serious injuries. And they say that this man has a history of assault, drug use, and mental health issues.
Well, that's usually the secular media's attempt to draw away from his Islamic faith, motivating him to do that. That's usually what they do. They'll say he's crazy or mentally ill, which may be true.
Yeah.
But that's not why the ISIS types and the Al-Qaeda, that's not why they do what they do. They do what they do because they think they're going to go to heaven with 70 virgins, mm-hmm. and what they're doing to kill innocent people, they don't view us as innocent. They view us as infidels. That
right.
is anyone who's not a Muslim like
I,
they are.
I am, by the way, proudly infidel.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
To a fundamentalist Muslim.
Right.
You are. So anyway, but it's a way to divert away from the religious teaching there, is to say they're nuts. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You think I'm right about that?
I don't have a doubt. Everything that you say accords with what we've found right. out to be
right.
the habits of these
people. Never want to, you want to wait till the facts come out about issues, which is what you do as a newsman, right?
That's my instinct as a news guy. Right. I try not to make statements of fact that I don't know to be true, and I leave the opining in the most part to people
like
who are
me.
Better. Yeah, you're very good at that.
Right. Gotcha. Well, I'm just doing a deduction on these situations around the world. It's normally It's normally a Muslim who does this, and it's normally a Muslim male. It's not.
Yeah, this is a 32-year-old
man. Well, there you go. You know, it's usually a Muslim male between 19 and 35 for the reasons I mentioned. It's the teaching of pleasing Allah to go to paradise with the virgins.
I guess by the time you get 50 or 60, the thought of 70 virgins is just overwhelming.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't appeal like it did when you're when you're a young man. It's always been ironic to me that the teachings of Islam are very strict when it comes to human sexuality. I mean, very strict. That's why women have to dress so modestly, because men don't want to be tempted sexually by the appearance of women.
That's the line they use, yes.
That's the line they use. But if you die in an act of jihad against killing innocent people, again, they don't consider us to be innocent, these people, these jihadis, then you get to go to paradise, which is basically hedonism.
Yeah.
The thing. The rules are the moral code for Islam. It's very strict for everyone but the male in the home.
Okay, gotcha.
Because he can have as many wives as he would like. Most in the Middle East, you notice some
in most Muslim cultures
most Muslim
you can have more than one wife,
multiple women in the house.
Okay.
Also, you notice there's a rape culture going on in Europe right now, from the immigrants coming in.
Right.
And so,
by the way, Europe and now in the United States, you don't want to be a young woman walking in certain neighborhoods.
So
Minneapolis these nights.
The ideology there is sick. And it's a very dominant ideology for the male in the household, and abusive sexually,
right.
Physically. It's a bad culture, and that's why our soldiers over there have so much trouble dealing with all of this, trying to bring a civilized culture to the Middle East.
You're trying to bring Western values to the Middle East outside of Israel. Maybe Turkey and Egypt to a certain extent, but just it's like sticking, it's like oil and water.
Right.
All right, Steve, next up, brother.
They've been having a discussion at the United Nations on whether or not it was wise for the United States to put its capital or to name Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and to move perhaps the embassy there. And we've been hearing about a vote, in fact, just yesterday, I believe it was, or the day before, the United States vetoed a move out of the Security Council, where the United States has veto power, that would have condemned the United States for its decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. And today, they are holding a vote in the General Assembly of the United Nations. I remember you earlier this last hour, you and Fred talked a little bit about the cabinet meeting at which President Trump prayed. Mm-hmm. Well, after the prayer, he had a couple words for what he thought of the nations that were going to vote. And Nikki Haley followed that up with some fairly direct words at the United Nations. Let's listen to that.
The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation. We will remember it when we are called upon to once again make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations. And we will remember it when so many countries come calling on us, as they so often do, to pay even more and to use our influence for their benefit. America will put our embassy in Jerusalem. That is what the American people want us to do, and it is the right thing to do. No vote in the United Nations will make any difference on that. But this vote will make a difference on how Americans look at the UN and on how we look at countries who disrespect us in the UN. And this vote will be remembered. Thank you.
Our talk from Nikki Haley, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, who, by all accounts, has been doing a fantastic job there representing United States interest. And I thought it was very interesting. I think it's the firmest commitment we've had yet that the embassy is going to move. The president had promised that, but there had been some talk of, well, we're going to recognize it, but we might not yet move the embassy. It's up in the air. But she was pretty direct that they're going to move the embassy.
Yeah. This whole UN thing, is NATO a part of UN, or is that a whole separate?
It's a different.
Okay, yeah. Then the UN has proved itself absolutely worthless. What do? They spend our money, U.S. taxpayer dollars, and travel to New York and eat at fancy dinners and take show votes.
Well,
I mean, they have no jurisdiction anywhere.
There's an awful lot of money that goes to the developing world from the UN. Some of it's well spent, but one of the things that Nikki Haley has promised to do is to kind of clean up the mismanagement of the UN. And because we give so much money to it, we're in a position to affect some changes. And in fact, the UN Secretary General has even acknowledged as much as that there is an awful lot of corruption, should we say,
at the
UN.
They may do a few good things, but for the most part, as much money as we send to them, they're not doing much good.
It's a radically liberal organization, and it foists the abortion agenda on poor countries.
They're also discredited in many ways, the United Nations. We know the stories about countries like Cuba on the Human Rights Commission.
Right.
We hear things like that, and this is just a
farce. And Cuba's condemning Israel.
Right.
This
is just a farce. It's basically been the U.S. the U.S. with the exception of Great Britain sometimes, the only one sticking up for Israel.
Right.
Interesting when you talk to UN people on family issues. Oftentimes when it comes to the abortion issue, for example, you will get some of the Arab countries coming in and voting with the United States against abortion. Mm-hmm. So there are some odd bedfellows, as we say, there at the UN that happens. But generally, for it to be effective, it needs some radical changes, and there's question about whether that can really ever happen.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker, and Steve Jordahl is with us this half hour. What's next in the news, Steve?
Well, the House and the Senate are now also trying. They've had victory on the tax plan. Now they are trying to get a temporary spending bill, which would fund the government past midnight Friday, Saturday technically. So they have a stopgap funding bill, and as they're talking about it now, according to sources on the Hill, it would re-up all spending at current levels through January 19th. It would throw some minor, Chad Pergram, the reporter from Fox that's up there, is reporting. He says some minor bones to the Pentagon, but not a full plus up of funding for the entire year as was originally promised. The House hopes today to debate a vote on two key bills designed to avoid a government shutdown tomorrow night. So they want not to to stop the momentum. They really do need this vote to go through. And it's odd. Every time the government has shut down or there's been a threat of a government shutdown, regardless of whether it's Republicans that are opposing to some things in the bill or Democrats are opposing to things in the bill, it seems that it's always the Republicans that get the blame for the government shutdown.
Right.
But they have a plan and a bill. If the Democrats don't like it and decide that they're going to stop the bill, I don't know how you can avoid saying the Democrats shut the government down.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not even sure why they have these talks. It seems like they talk about this every 3 weeks. They're talking about the government shutting down. The media hypes it up like everybody's going to die, and they end up funding it at midnight one night. But I don't know why they do it, because they fund the same stuff. It's not like we're debating on whether we're going to fund Planned Parenthood or not, which we shouldn't. They fund them every time. So I don't know why they don't just pass a 12-month spending bill. Every bill has the same stuff in it for the most part. Pass a spending bill for 12 months. Then once a year, we can reauthorize spending like the government's supposed to work. And we don't have to everybody get all worked up about the government shutting down.
From an outside observer, it looks like they just kind of do other things until, oh, hey, wow, we've only got a month or a week right. until the government's going to shut down. And there are things that they're debating in these discussions, like the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, right. which is currently not refunding, is not in the current version. They are talking about, should we include the so-called dreamers or the illegal immigrants that are born here or raised here for the majority of their life? Mm-hmm. There's that's in there. And then some other funding issues that they're talking about how to deal with. Yeah. So, and every time they get to a day before, they see they're not going to come to an agreement. They don't want the government shut down. So they say, okay, we'll give ourselves another week. And they pass these incremental bills. But I agree with you. If they could just kind of be organized enough to start talking about it in September, maybe by the time you get to December, you've got things.
Okay, you guys are bordering on boring.
Okay.
You guys are bordering on boring. You better move on to something else. You're going to lose my attention.
You don't remember the tax bill that just passed yesterday. We've been talking about it. Well, you also probably know that Democrats and liberals really don't like it. I've got something that I was thinking was going to be from the Snowflake files, but because of who is involved, I think it really belongs in the Russia files.
Hey, do they have a Christmas album, that choir?
They might. That was popular in the Soviet Union where Christmas wasn't a big thing, but in Russia, I think it probably has made a comeback since
I'd
the
pay,
Soviet days.
I'd pay to hear them sing.
I agree.
You know.
So you know of the actress provocateur Rosie O'Donnell. She is very liberal and very outspoken on her views, and she went on a tweet storm Tuesday before they voted on this bill, and this is what she tweeted. She said, "How about I promise to give $2 million to Senator Susan Collins and $2 million to Senator Jeff Flake if they vote no, which would have killed the tax bill." So she is out there bribing a couple.
I'll vote no for $2 million. I mean,
well,
she wants me to vote no.
Susan Collins.
But I don't have a vote.
And Jeff Flake didn't. Huh? They voted yes.
They voted yes?
Yeah. But she was out there promising to write a check.
Is that legal to bribe?
It
openly
is not. It is not.
Okay.
But even after someone pointed out to Ms. O'Donnell that it was illegal, she doubled down.
Did she?
Yeah. She said, no, I mean it. I'm going to send $2 million. I will write a check.
Yeah. It didn't work. It passed, and both of those senators voted for it.
No,
right?
She's been on record as calling the president mentally unstable and questions if he'll be able to live through his presidency, which also could be kind of a Kathy Griffin chopped off head moment for
Rosie,
her too. So
Rosie O'Donnell. Okay.
She's leaving a legacy right there.
She is, isn't she?
They don't. President Trump doesn't care for her either at all.
No.
This goes back. This is a feud that's been going on since their celebrity days, right? Was she on the Apprentice show?
I don't think she was on the Apprentice show, and I don't think she had this antipathy.
She was on The View. She was on The View. And that's when she used to go after then candidate Trump.
Right.
I guess maybe they used to feud before he was even a candidate. I think this goes way back. This is the Hatfields and McCoys
yep.
type deal.
Yep.
The Trumps and the and the who? O'Donnells.
O'Donnells, yes.
Rosie O'Donnell. All right.
Two more things I've got for you this morning.
You got 4 minutes.
Okay. Let's talk about Sweden. Sweden is a country whose economy is doing fairly well, or at least it was, until they started bringing in reams and reams of immigrants. They have to because they're part of the UN, so they'd had no choice but to put these people in. Well, you're going to hear a news report from a Fox newsman who has say there's a little trouble now in Sweden. This is cut three.
It has the second highest growth rate in the European Union, largely due to mass migration from Middle Eastern countries. But the unemployment rate for those with foreign backgrounds is nearly 22%. And that is draining the welfare system to the tune of $57 billion a year, according to a 2016 economic report. Also an issue, the Swedish pension system is drying up due to longer life expectancy of citizens. Now, Sweden is forced to raise the retirement age on its workers to help offset the costs. By 2026, the minimum retirement age in Sweden will be raised from 61 to 64 years of age. Kevin Battle, Fox News.
Oops. Nothing they can do. They're stuck with these immigrants. They had to take them, and now it's draining the coffers. And then the one last thing I'd like to talk about, there's a new movie coming out. You're going to love this one. There's a changing of the guard in the Democrat Party. The Clintons, are no longer... big time, but Hollywood is now going to be taking on the Kennedys. There's a movie called Chappaquiddick that's coming out, and for those that don't remember, that was the infamous scandal where Ted Kennedy, when he was a younger man, got a little inebriated and drove a car with a girlfriend or a man he was seeing outside of his marriage off of a
woman,
bridge.
A woman or a man?
A woman.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. A woman he was seeing outside of his marriage drove a car off a bridge. She drowned, and he, let's say he prospered. This is a little bit from the trailer from Chappaquiddick.
It was an accident. I was driving. A story like this could dominate the headlines for weeks.
Chief, we got a body.
A dead body holds a lot of secrets. Those can be the difference between guilt and innocence. So we need to be in control of them. There's not a lot of senators that are charged with manslaughter that go on to become president.
Moses had a temper. Peter betrayed Jesus. I have Chappaquiddick.
Moses had a temper, but he never left a girl at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Moses had a temper.
But he never left a woman at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Exactly. This is going to be a good movie, I think. Now, I must caveat that... it's not out. It's rated PG-13. There are probably language issues. There are probably sexual issues. AFA is not going to endorse this movie, and I'm not endorsing it, but
it's in the news.
It's in the news.
What movies are doing good right now?
Well, Star Wars just came out.
A lot of movies are bombing.
Star Wars just came out, and there's some question about it. It's not doing exactly what they needed, but it's still making in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's a tough market for movies in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen these seats they're putting in some in these.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. They're theaters. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're trying to compete, I guess, with people who stay at home.
And many theaters not only putting the seats in there, but allowing you to order meals, and they'll bring the meals in. And
Yeah,
they'll pick you up at your house now.
About.
And take you to the theater and roll you in.
I want them to pick me up in the Back to the Future car.
It's amazing. All right, folks, have a great day. Dr. Alistair Begg is straight ahead with Bible teaching from his program, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. Take care, everybody. See you back here tomorrow. Trivia Friday tomorrow. We'll have some fun then.